Hello, and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam McDonaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time listening to the Guelph Politicast, welcome. Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or are just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe on iTunes. Today, I talked to Kelly Smith of Transition Guelph. She is one of the organizers of Guelph's Resilience Festival, which will unfurl over 4 days next week. We'll get into all the great things that can and will be found there at the Resilience Festival in a moment, but first, I have the usual public service announcement. Now, last month, I launched the Patreon campaign for Guelph Politico. Through Patreon, you can contribute on a per-monthly basis of any amount you feel comfortable using PayPal or your credit card, and all the money goes to maintaining a locally sourced, independent media outlet in Guelph called Guelph Politico. Through your generous donations, you will be paying to keep the Politicast going, as well as regular coverage of City Council politics in and around and concerning the Royal City. For more details, you can click on the giant orange P on the right-hand side of the Guelph Politico page, or you can go to patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. Now it's on with the show. The Resilience Festival began in 2010 with a singular event, the annual Earth Hour Potluck. Now it's several days, including workshops, celebrations, activities, up to and including the Earth Hour Potluck, which still takes place on Saturday night. Now, that's quite a lot to organize, and includes the input of a wide variety of individuals and organizations, which this year includes Emerge, the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition, With the Grain, Wellington Brewery, and, of course, the City of Guelph. This year, the Resilience Festival will roll out over 4 days from Thursday, March 17th to Sunday, March 20th. Now, when I talked to Kelly, we discussed, obviously, the highlights of the Resilience Festival, the challenges of sustainability, how she and her fellow members try to keep ideas of sustainability apolitical, and whether or not she's hopeful about the future. And the answer to that one might surprise you. I caught up with Kelly Smith earlier this week in downtown Guelph. So Kelly Smith, thank you for talking to me today.
Thank you.
To begin with, this is the sixth year for the Resilience Festival.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while. We've had the Earth Hour Potluck, which has run for 8 years, and then it's just kind of expanded into the Resilience Festival in the last couple of years as well.
Okay. Yeah. So it's been going for quite a while, and so, you know, how did it get started? You said it started with the simple potluck, which is still part of the festival, but how did it start? How did that begin, and how did that kind of grow into our whole 3-day thing?
Yeah, so the festival itself is run by Transition Guelph. Mm-hmm. So the members of Transition Guelph wanted a way to come together and celebrate Earth Hour, and the very transition-y way of doing that is by having a potluck. So the first year, I think there was probably about 30 people there, and it's grown and grown and grown, and last year I think we had 100 or so people at the potluck. Wow. So it's been a wonderful coming together of different people, and it's great to catch up with people that you haven't seen for the whole year. And then also, in addition, the festival has just kind of grown with other events that are happening around the same time, so we can celebrate all of the resiliency and Transition Guelph events that happen in the city.
I did notice that, because next week is also, aside from Earth Hour, which is on the Saturday, but it's also U of G Sustainability Week, Canadian Water Week. Mm-hmm. I think next week's March break, too.
It is. It all coincided this year.
Yeah, I mean, is that a coincidence, or is just like the third week in March is the time we think about sustainability?
Right, so there's a couple things that happen around this time of year. One is the Earth Hour, when people traditionally spend an hour, turn their lights off in their home. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we time the festival. March break is just a coincidence this year, but there's also what was it, the weekend before is also the equinox, spring right. equinox, so it's kind of the time of renewal and change, so I think that's why so much happens at this time.
Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, because you mentioned Transition Guelph, what is Transition Guelph?
Yeah, Transition Guelph is a wonderful volunteer-led organization. We're part of a growing movement around the world of people who want to come together and solve some of the most pressing issues of our time, mm-hmm. like climate change, like peak oil, and we do it by finding small-scale solutions that we can do right now on our own with friends to combat these kind of big-picture problems that feel sometimes too big for us to handle.
It's the old think globally, act locally.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. So the transition movement started in the UK and it's grown all over the world. And Transition Guelph, I think, is the second oldest transition movement in Canada after Peterborough. So it's kind of cool. We've got a pretty good movement going on here.
How long has it been going?
7 years, I think, Transition Guelph. So right around the same time as the first potluck.
In terms of putting together the Resilience Festival, you know, a lot of different events, a lot of different partners. How does planning something like that begin?
Yeah, it's changed a lot over the years. Originally, the Resilience Festival was just the 1 day celebration, and then the more the festival grew in popularity, the more people wanted to get involved. So we just kind of naturally had these partners and like-minded businesses coming to us and saying, can I be a part of this? Can I do something as part of the festival? And that's how it's grown. Mm-hmm. Last year, it was almost a week and a half because we had so much stuff that people wanted to put in. And this week, we've kind of cropped it down to 4 days. Mm-hmm. But it's cool because we get to really focus in on the events that have gone well in the past and people have really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. What's new about this year that hasn't been done in previous years, other than brevity?
Yeah, so that's nice. It's a welcome change. We've always got new topics and stuff that we're exploring. So the Builders Group has held a symposium in the past, but this year they're focusing on intentional living communities, mm-hmm. which is a great topic right now because lots of people are interested in it.
What is the intentional living community?
Intentional living is kind of like, I try to explain it to people. Imagine if you had a whole apartment building of people that were deciding to live together as opposed to separately. So shared eating, shared resources, shared libraries of tools and things like that. That's kind of the brief way of explaining it. But there's a lot more that runs underneath that. Then it's kind of like a family of families living together.
Okay.
We've got a film screening this year that we're doing of Revolution, which I'm super excited about, at 10 Carden on the Friday night. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday we've got some narrative works. We've got a narratives workshop. We're doing partner yoga for the second year in a row. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Yeah, there's lots of stuff going on the main day as well. Some of the stuff that's the same is CD Saturday. We've partnered with CD Saturday for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And Minga Skill Building Hub is hosting a reskilling workshop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's happened for the last couple of years as well. And then this year we've got a whole bunch of new speakers and presenters coming to talk. So Guelph Coalition for Active Transportation is coming to do a presentation. And the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition is doing a presentation. So it's always kind of the same topics, but new partners, new people who've got new ideas coming together.
Okay, just to backtrack, there was one of the things I didn't know. When you say CD workshop, you don't mean compact disc.
No. CD Saturday, as in growing seeds.
Right, okay.
This is a wonderful time of year because everyone's getting super excited for spring. Mm-hmm. And CD Saturday provides a way for people to buy good organic seeds, you know, who the producers are, that kind of stuff.
And reskilling.
Yeah.
How do you define reskilling?
So reskilling is this wonderful kind of notion of learning the skills that our grandparents had.
Mm-hmm.
So preserving your own food, making your own stuff, darning your own socks. The reskilling fair has, I think, probably 6 or 7 different skills that you can learn over the course of the day. So they're running active demonstrations, I think making cheese, making bread, all sorts of cool stuff.
Wow. The seed thing does interest me because I was at the agenda taping yesterday, and Liz Sandals was there, and she was talking about how no farmers live in her riding anymore. And a friend of mine pointed out, well, that's kind of not true, because depending on your definition of farmer, because there are a lot of beekeepers.
There is.
And that's kind of farming. And a lot of people with their own backyard gardens and backyard chickens, and, that's a kind of farming, too.
Yeah, so Transition Guelph actually has an urban food working group that focuses on urban farming. And it's things like beekeeping, making your own maple syrup, gardening in your backyard, gardening in your friend's backyard. It's, coming together and doing it as a group. So I would say definitely there's lots of farming going on. It's just not on the same scale that you might have been thinking about.
Right. In looking at the issues that the Resilience Festival in Transition Guelph deals with, it's not just about environment. I think when we hear resilience and we hear sustainability, the first thought is the environment. But I think what I've sort of come to the conclusion to the last couple of years, and I think maybe more people are too, is that there's a collection of issues that, and they all sort of tie into each other, and it's not just about being green or being environmental, but something like living arrangements ties into that as well.
Yeah, for sure. It's crazy. So I got involved with Transition Guelph probably 5 or 6 years ago now, and the more that I learn about these issues, the more you understand how interconnected they all are. And you can't really talk about one without talking about the others as well.
Mm-hmm.
It does make a big difference. So when we talk about resilience, we're not just talking about having a healthy environment, but also what that means for us internally and our own inner transition. It means what it means for community and how, you know, we pull that all in together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's lots of different issues that we talk about. The economy is one that ties in really closely as well.
Mm-hmm. And in talking about reskilling and stuff, you know, in my other life, I write about movies and TV shows, and of course, you think about TV shows like The Walking Dead, for example, and it's just like, and all these movies and stuff about, you know, living after the collapse of society, and you hear something like a reskilling workshop, and you think, well, that would come in handy. Those people would come in handy when it all falls down, and, it's weird to sort of think about it that way, but the Resilience Festival and other things tend to be incredibly positive focused.
It really is, but it's not the first time people have made that kind of comparison.
I
had one friend tell me they thought that Transition Guelph was full of those people that like stockpiled cans in their basement and waited for the apocalypse to come. And it's like, well, yeah, kind of, I guess, but no, in a much more positive way. Not in a, like, we think the world is doomed, but it's how can we start living our lives now in a whole earth economy rather than a carbon-based economy.
Mm-hmm.
So if we run out of fuel, how is that going to impact our lives? And can we start making those changes now?
Right. There's certainly a lot of talk, and there's always a lot of talk, but of course we had a big government change federally in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of talk on the federal level, given the current Prime Minister, about doing more for the environment. On the other hand, we have incredible economic pressures because the sector of the economy, which the oil, and I'm sure you have some thoughts about that, is not doing so well. I mean, people are wanting money in there. What do you think that the current atmosphere is for these kind of initiatives?
Right. So one thing that I should mention before making any comment is that we try and make sure that the transition movement and Transition Guelph is apolitical.
Right.
You know, no matter what your viewpoints are, there's room and space for everybody to make change now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important to say. I think on a personal note, I mean, there's definitely room to move into kind of the green economy and away from carbon-based economy, which is what we've, you know, been seeing in Canada, and the decline of that in Canada as well. I think it opens up a huge window for Canada to move into the green sector and green energy and be a leader in that.
Mm-hmm. Is there a risk, though, do you think, in, you know, you've talked about the festival has grown and participation has grown, but there is also another side of things where, and I've seen it in Guelph before, where change is very difficult for people to wrap their heads around. And you still hear people complain about three-stream garbage in this town.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, everywhere does it, but, you know, it's still a thorn in the side of some people can't throw their stuff in a big black bag and see it hauled away at the end of, on a Monday or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's what we talk about, not just making the environmental changes, but the personal changes as well. Like, understanding that there is effort that's required to make these changes, but once you've made them, it's not so bad. Like, it's not so hard anymore. And
some people would agree with that, disagree, but yeah.
What I love about the transition movement is that there's all these tiny little steps you can take. And once you've set yourself on that path and committed to taking that first step, the next one's so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one after that is so much easier. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a position that's like, hey, this is a lot better than what I was doing before. You know, I'm walking to work, or I'm riding my bike, and it's healthier for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not driving my car, so I'm not spending as much money on gas. There's all these other positive outcomes that come from living a more green or resilient lifestyle.
Right. There is still, though, just from my point of view, and maybe you have different thoughts, but the people see it as, it's a matter of status, right? You know, you drive your car, it's a status thing, and you know, living in a big house is a status thing. You know, how do you combat I mean, it's still a persistent view in society.
Yeah, for sure. When you talk about like living in a small home, people freak out about that. We're like, well, why would you want to? Or when you ride your bike to work, people are like, don't you have a car? I'm like, well, yes, I have a car. I choose not to drive it.
Right.
And it is one of those things where you've got to kind of let go of those notions of what status or prestige means. And I think for most people, once you let go of that, you'll find yourself in a much happier place. You know, where you're not worried about, you know, what does my neighbor think about, you know, me riding my bike everywhere or putting tomato plants all over my backyard. And once you let go of those kinds of things, then you're not as stressed about it anymore, and then they're just gone. But it is a mindset that needs to change for sure.
Well, having said that, how do you reach those people? How do you make them see the value?
So, one of the cool things about transition and like community resilience is there's so many different sides to it. So maybe you're really passionate about local food, or maybe you're really passionate about transportation, or maybe you're really passionate about alternative economies. And whichever way you come from, whichever place you come from, that's okay.
Right.
And you'll probably get interested in some of the other stuff, or you might not, and that's cool too. There's really no prescribed way of getting involved in, you know, what is a political movement, but not really heavily political.
Right.
We're not asking people to go out to protests. We're just, you know, asking people to make small changes in their life, or at least think about making those small changes in their life and seeing where it takes you.
Yeah. No, and I get that. And it just seems like these things do end up politicized somehow. You know, no matter how much you say it, it's not political.
Oh, it's always political.
Yeah.
But we are trying to find a way to make it less political. And, you know, whether you're left wing or right wing, wherever you sit, there's always change that you can make, and there's always benefit that you can reap.
Sure. In terms of what people can do in a daily way to shift their... In terms of how they live, people might be listening to this and say, well, where can I start? Where can people start?
Yeah, I think education is probably the first step for most people. I mean, we're really fortunate that in the last 10 years, a ton of documentaries have come out about, peak oil and climate change. So making sure that you're feeling educated about that, whichever stance that you want to take. And then once you're feeling like you're ready to make some change, like signing up to the newsletter is a great way to find out about things that are going on throughout the year for Transition Guelph. It's on our homepage. But I think, yeah, for most people, it's just finding something that they're passionate about. And whatever that is, bring that passion to the table, and we'll find other people that are probably equally as passionate about it too. And then getting involved with groups that way.
How do you combat cynicism? Because there is, I mean, you don't hear a lot of people articulate it this way, but the attitude on the other side is, it's too late to change. We have to learn to adapt now.
Right.
To what's going to happen, which is, it's kind of like going back to the worst case scenario thinking.
Yeah. I think a lot of the things that we do at Transition Guelph, and a lot of the things, I guess I should say, that our members take part in, is really contributing to an overall well-being. So whether you're looking to fight against climate change, which is totally awesome if you are, or if you're just trying to like release stress in your life, making these changes can affect you on all of those fronts. So if somebody comes at you and says, well, climate change doesn't exist, and you say, like, well, how about getting to know your neighbors? That's pretty cool.
Right.
You know? So there's different angles that you can take.
How do you combat that? Because that is a big thing, the climate change denial. I mean, perhaps not as much so here in Canada, although University of Guelph is the base for one of the world's biggest climate change deniers at the same time. It's great to say educate yourself, but I mean, as we're kind of seeing in the United States, people are sort of defying the stance of one needs to get educated.
Right, and it's hard when there's so much misinformation or confusing information out there, right? I think on a personal level, it can be exhausting to feel so passionately about something, and then, you know, you go and read the comments, the trolling comments on blogs, and you're just like, ah, people. But I think for the most part, one of the awesome things that I found about this community is how compassionate people are. And every time we get together, everyone leaves feeling so energized. So you know, there's a whole bunch of negativity that's going out there in the world, and we can create our own community of positivity,
right,
and coming together with new ideas. And we can say, I don't care what they think.
Right.
You know, I don't care what they're doing. Let's do what we want to do.
Right.
And that's a really, you know, positive influence on my life and the lives of everyone that is then involved with the projects.
Mm-hmm. Is there a danger, though, in, you know, one of the trends is in the current age of politics is sort of this tribalism where, you know, you guys believe what you believe, we're going to believe what we believe, but at some point both those tribes do have to work together because there is this big mechanism thing called Canada that we all have to live in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, like, because we are non-political,
right,
and because we are focused very much on the localization of, you know, growing our own food and reskilling and forming these communities, is that we can operate in a little bit of a bubble, but we are definitely aware of everything else that's going on outside of that bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's a little bit of naivety in there, but so far it's, you know, it's really been such a positive influence in my life, and I know that many others that are really active and involved with the movement feel the same way.
Right.
So I'm not sure if we feel that kind of cynicism and you know, pushing back from the provincial or federal landscape or global.
Right.
Just because we know that we're doing action and it feels good.
But is it hard to stay positive, do you find?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, these are big problems that we're facing, and they are really overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for most people that feel that kind of overwhelming, crushing feeling of these political issues, transition is a breath of fresh air for that. And things like the Resilience Festival are a way for us to come together and celebrate.
I always ask people who are doing the kind of work you do, are you hopeful about the future?
That's a great question. I think overall, no, but that's a personal feeling rather than one that's probably associated with the transition movement. I remember one of my friends, Christine Mills, through Transition Guelph, was asking me that question. I was like, oh, I feel really horrible saying this, but I don't know. I don't feel very hopeful because I don't see a lot of the change that needs to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
I am hopeful for myself, and I'm hopeful for my family and my community because the change is happening at that level. I'm really excited for when it starts happening on a bigger scale.
Right.
I don't know what it's going to take to make that happen or if we're going to do it in time, but I'm really hopeful for that.
Well, I appreciate your candor because I do feel the same way. And when we were talking about, you know, think locally, think globally, act locally, there are times I think to myself, it's almost too late for that. That was fine, like, in the 90s, you know, when it felt like there was still time to do things.
It's really hard to detach yourself from that global landscape at
right.
this point because it's so interwoven with our daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said a couple years ago, I set out on a mission to make zero footprint fabric,
right,
which it took me, like, you know, hours and hours of learning and sourcing, and I did it, but it's so not sustainable. You know, so there are things that we really rely on a global scale, and it's very hard to remove yourself from that picture.
Well, John Saint Denis, who's, you know, famous for walking around town shoeless,
right, yep.
That came about because he couldn't find shoes that were sustainable.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And he might have better luck now, but probably not on the local scale.
No.
Right?
That's, yeah.
So it is hard, but I hope that as more people buy into this kind of lifestyle of living more locally and you know, doing things that they're passionate about rather than just working at a day job, that we'll find more people who are going to start making shoes or making fabric on a more local scale. And it might not be right in Guelph, but maybe in Ontario.
Right.
And then we can work from there.
On the other hand, there is reason to be optimistic. As, you know, they were saying on the agenda the other night that, you know, Guelph is incredibly entrepreneurial. And
it's true.
There's a lot of community-minded people here.
There
so,
is. And there's lots of good stuff happening. So hopefully that will just keep growing.
Including the Resilience Festival. So if people are interested in getting involved with the festival or Transition Guelph, mm-hmm. where can you direct people?
Yep, sure. So we've got on our website for the festival, it's GuelphResilienceFestival.ca.
Mm-hmm.
There is a link there to get involved, and we're looking for volunteers, or you can come out to the events and learn more about them. We also have a website, transitionguelph.org, and there's a newsletter sign up right on the homepage, and that's how we send out most of our events that are going on in the city.
Well, Kelly, you are a very honest woman, but you're still doing the good work, and we appreciate that. So thanks for talking to me today.
Thanks.
And that was Kelly Smith of Transition Guelph. And to learn more about the 2016 Resilience Festival or to get a full list of events, times, and locations, you can go to GuelphResilienceFestival.ca. Or you can also go to the Transition Guelph website to learn more about that organization. It can be found at TransitionGuelph.org. As for the Guelph Politicast, that is all for this week. The theme music for Guelph Politicast is provided by the Crazy Pills and their song Break It Down, courtesy of the Free Music Archive. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to previous episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com or reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. There is also a Guelph Politico Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And to everyone who has donated so far, I of course say thank you very much. For all the latest political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will also have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, we'll see you next time.